Music Circle Podcast. Tara, tambay.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the UP Music Circle Podcast. Tara, tambay. This is me, Jerry, a member of the UP Music Circle Podcast, and I'm with...
Hey, what's up? It's Fiona. Again, Fiona. I'm the External Relations Head of the UP Music Circle and just a chill member of UPMC.
Same here. I'm Miguel Arecho. I am also just another chill member of the UPMC.
That's right!
Membership committee right now, so I handle a lot of our internal matters. Or help out of those.
I'm too lazy to explain what my position is, but I'm Teddy. Yeah, I'm just a member, just a member.
A member
of the UP Music Circle.
Same.
Yes. Yes.
So right now, we're all stuck in our rooms because of the whole quarantine situation. And with that, we haven't seen each other in so long. There's been a lot of changes with the whole... with how our everyday lives work. It's been a while since I've attended actually a gig, which is something that I've been going to almost every month actually. It always depends on whenever there is a gig. So right now, instead of having physical gigs, some productions have been making these online gigs recently. So what do you guys think about online gigs?
Wow. Online gigs. You know, it's true. Like, it's also been like a little over a year actually since I've attended an actual physical gig that I used to go to like thrice a week actually, like before. So it's like this whole sitch is actually just super complicated. It's weird to put it simply, but I guess online gigs have been a really huge change that different productions and just musicians, artists have had to adapt to. And while, of course, like this is the only way that we can enjoy music at this time, like physical gigs, again, just hit different, you know. Online gigs so far, I guess, like in terms of how easy it is to produce it, there's definitely a lot less to worry about. Back then, whenever we'd have to produce online gigs, there's always that trouble of just, you know, like having to book a venue, having to contact all these artists, making sure that they make it on time, having to book the hosts, having to do the front of house, like collecting tickets, collecting money, making sure you have enough change. So, you know, definitely all of that is gone. But right now, I guess you can say it's both like a blessing and a curse in the sense that, yeah, for sure, it's been a lot easier to... I guess produce them and to stream them because, you know, everything for the most part has been pre-recorded. So the only problem that you'll be having to that you'll have to face on the day of the gig is streaming. And I'm sure Resh is gonna be talking about this later since he's had first-hand experience.
Actually, to add to that, like, you know, with online gigs, the good thing about it is that anyone can go watch it now, right? It's very, very accessible.
True.
Like anyone can just, you know, go online, okay, here, this is a gig, you know, I can just watch it right there.
That's
compared
true.
To before na wala, how do you get the route, right? You have to get a cab, mag-grab ka pa.
Yep. And also, like, you can add in the fact that a lot of online gigs are now free.
Oh yeah.
So literally anyone can access it at any time. If you missed a certain gig playing, like say it's a Friday night, you're busy, I guess recording a podcast or something, like you can always go back to it when you're done. You can also like rewatch it a bunch of times if like you like a specific set or if you enjoy the specific gig. But you know, there's also still just something different about having to be there, you know, like you had
That's
to be
the
there. You had to be there during physical gigs. So I don't know, what about you guys?
Well, like Fiona, yun nga, that's the condo. Like if you're like online gigs are free, right? So kawawa yung organizer.
Truth.
Right, like a lot of things are donations now.
It's usually a pay what you can sing at this point.
Yeah, I noticed that you were kind of like posing it as like pros and cons of like the change, and it is a big adjustment. So much so that like for me, it's like it's not even something that we can like track one to one. where it's like, oh, we've got the physical and now we have online
gigs.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's like such a big change. It's a completely different product, I'd say, because it's a different experience entirely. So you have those pros that are like, yeah, it's accessible. Most of the time it's free.
Yeah, it's a really different thing entirely.
Exactly. But what you're getting is completely different. What you're creating, although you're trying to... I think at the start, a lot of people were like trying to... We're trying to port the experience of physical gigs to the online setting or the online space.
Oh, yeah.
This new platform or a bunch of different platforms, but it really doesn't track one-to-one. We're saying, because what you end up with is more like digital content, which is a completely different... It's a different product in the sense that you can, it's monetized in a different way. Mm-hmm. It's consumed in a different, completely different way entirely.
And also, like, the creative process is just a different thing. Like, when it comes to online gigs, you have to think about visuals, you have to think about recording, mixing, mastering everything, making sure that it looks good to anyone who sees it. It's so different from just like packing up your things, bringing your instruments to like a gig place and then just playing. It's such a different experience altogether.
Yeah, like on the band perspective, adding to what you said, Fiona, like if you're in a band, you're now more than just a musician. Eh? You're now a video editor. You have to now design your room. You have to now be a mixer, right?
Yeah, from a manager's perspective, I feel like it hasn't changed too much. You're still thinking of the same things. Like when it comes to visuals, before you were thinking of like lighting and then like things that you put on the stage, all the different decorations. And then you're just thinking, oh, you know, online gigs, it's the same thing. I just need to think of like color correction and like other visual aspects. But then in actual execution of those things, that's a completely different skill set. Mm-hmm. Like the same person, the same group of people who would have been like so down to make like sets, design, stage decoration, they might not be the same people who are like good at
working on the set.
Yeah, digital promotion. Yeah, digital promotion,
like...
digital overlay. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a big adjustment that I feel like it gets overlooked.
So Teddy.
Yes. Yes.
I guess your Adobe editing skills have been put to good use. You know, you've mastered.
Actually, as I mentioned before, because of online gigs, I had to learn. Right? I mean, I'm pretty sure in every band, at least one person had to learn how to edit the videos.
Yeah.
And another person had to learn how to mix the sound. I mean, in a way, it's kind of cool because all these bands are now becoming their own filmmakers. Mm-hmm. They're becoming their own sound engineers. In a way, you're making the bands evolve.
That's true.
Right? And, you know, you have to adapt. Eh? There's no more physical gigs. You have no choice. Eh? You have to, you know, this is what it is now.
And you guys are your own music video directors and producers.
Yeah. Technically, every band has their own music video now.
You're adding more to your skill set, basically.
It's exciting in a way. Like, there's... big shift, like people kind of forced to have to learn these new things, and you know, like if we're in that mode of like looking at the silver linings, I do agree, like it's been like Fiona said, there's a lot less to worry about, but they are different things entirely, so it's like it's just new, not better or worse. I wouldn't say it's better or worse in any aspect, because it is just different. It's hard to really say do I like it more. No. but I'm not saying it's worse. you can still appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate it, yeah. But I have to mention, though, it is tiring. It honestly, if you're the artist, it's tiring.
Even for an audience member, it is actually very tiring, considering how do I say this? It feels very different seeing it live because every experience is unique. But in an online setting, in an online gig setting, some bands actually just reuse their recordings or their videos.
That's true.
Yeah.
You can't blame them. Yeah. You really can't blame them, though. Yeah.
Yeah, you really can't blame them because it's very tiring for both the artists and for basically everyone who's arranging it. Because we're all basically adjusting to this new whole setting. We're trying to make things work.
Yeah.
We're trying to relieve the experiences that we had when physical gigs were a thing. It was a usual thing, but now we just wanted
it. That's interesting. thing, because I've kind of eventually, or like at this point, have realized in myself that we never really should have been trying to like capture the feeling of a, or maybe it was a good effort, but I don't think we will be able to capture with what we have, with what tools we have, the actual physical gig. Mm-hmm. It's just too different. Because yeah. I mean, one part of the conversation that keeps getting left out is that it's not like online content and like this kind of like online gigs is new. It's not like it's not like it didn't exist pre-pandemic. There were people making that stuff. It did exist mm-hmm. alongside physical gigs. So we had both these medium to really consume like the same stuff, really, kind of. Bands making music, those performances. So it's like, yeah, it's like trying to, and I know for a fact that they were never trying to capture physical gigs in online space. They were just trying to create something new, something different, another way to consume things. So like now, I'm in that headspace where it's like, maybe from the get-go, we shouldn't have been trying to port that experience, and more like, just because this is what is available to us, we should try to make the best online gigs that we can, rather than being like, I want to make this online gig as much like a physical gig as possible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's kind of like making do with what you have, and just, I don't know, like doing what you can at this time, because it's, I don't know, like it's just a really different, weird time and experience. So
we've been talking about our experiences with online gigs in a general perspective, but how about when we talk about our own personal experiences with online gigs? Because recently I have been in several online gigs, mostly from the ones that are organized by our org.
Yeah.
And I've also been part of the production team for that one.
Yeah, we've all worked on some gigs already. Fiona, quite a few already by now.
Okay. Okay, so I guess we can like start this off with the gigs that we did produce as an org. So first one was our first ever online gig, Fundraiser. It was basically a fundraiser for our org mate, Rachel Villamore, and her family. At that point in my life, that was a year ago when it was the peak of online gigs, I was still having so much fun producing it. Like, it was such a fun experience. It was something new that I've tried personally, and also the org. So I was heading Fundraiser, and at that point, it was just so much fun just getting back into the gig scene, having to experience, like, I guess, the new normal kind of gig situation. So, like, that was definitely a really fun experience, followed by 20 Tunes, like, a month later. And it was also just, like, so much fun to do. But then if you'd ask me that now, if I still have the same kind of energy, the same kind of push to create those online gigs, I have to tell you, like, it's honestly really tiring. And to think that we've only produced two gigs
sure.
We were in that like honeymoon period with the whole thing. I'm pretty proud of how we handled that. Like we tackled it.
Yeah.
We tackled the shift with a lot of excitement and like good vibes about it.
I mean, we had an active host. Like you Fiona, you were the host. We had like a good, you know, shift.
Yeah.
We had those nice visuals. You know, we did our own cool thing. Right? I mean, it's something.
We looked around. Yeah, we looked around and we found that we still had the tools to do this, and
we were actually being, I guess, very optimistic.
Yeah,
given the whole situation.
Definitely.
And it was fun. Like, you know, it was fun watching because, like, right, our org is so active. And then if you're an audience, right, you're watching. You see this small world happening in the comments, where we're all just reacting to each other's videos. I mean, it's actually really funny.
I guess it was also like just a really good alternative. Like months later, you know, without any live music keeping us alive, it was just a good experience to have. Following the Route 196 farewell gig, I personally, I cried.
Oh, yeah,
I cried
yeah.
during that gig.
Same. I was feeling that one. Like I brought a beer pa. I closed the lights in my room, you know, to simulate that Route 196 experience. And I had like a beer with me, and like, you know, this is it. This is the last thing. And like, everyone felt that, right?
Yeah. Like, I guess that was the closest we'd ever have to experiencing live gigs again. And at this point, or at least like at that point, we'd kind of just like take what we can get. And that was the feeling. That was like my overall general feeling of producing those gigs at the time. It's taking what we can get out of this online experience to kind of have that same feeling again.
Yeah. I also want to say, like, with my own experiences, like, I'm the type of person to say, I normally watch a gig if my favorite band is playing, right? And I've been to a few gigs, like, I'm only there just to see my band, like, the band play. And, like, you know, sometimes you get these live, like, acoustics, so, because there are some bands don't get to play entirely together, so it's just one guy doing their acoustic thing. And I appreciate those types, like, that's really cool to watch. You get to hear, you know, this stripped down version of the song. And then sometimes you get to watch this, you know, this parang this recorded thing, which is, you know, that's where you can feel sad, like, oh, I miss what it sounds like live, right? Yeah, I mean, that's all I gotta say about, you know, the gigs I've been to. It's hard to watch it entirely because it's long, isn't it?
True.
Right?
Yes.
It's 2 hours, 3 hours.
It's exactly what I said earlier about how the whole online gig scenario just takes away the uniqueness that you feel for every performance of the band that you like.
Oh yeah, the uniqueness. Yeah.
I think we're all feeling like fatigue. The industry right now is feeling a bit of a fatigue, although there are some online gigs like slated to come out in the Philippines soon. But that's the thing, I'm not sure whether it's really a fatigue brought upon, like a fatigue for online gigging, or if it's just like the overall fatigue of this pandemic, you know? I feel like part of it, a part of that is coloring my perception of like how I'm feeling about online gigging. It's not entirely like the stress and fatigue of doing this like form of production. I know for a fact that there is some of that is bleeding over from just being tired of staying indoors all the time. And my mental state right now, or everyone's mental state right now.
Yeah.
And it's also, and that's from a production standpoint, even more so from like a consumer, the audience. Yeah. Like, you see a bunch of these gigs, and maybe for the casual audience member or viewer who never really went to that many gigs in the first place, like physical gigs, I feel like the amount of online gigs that came out kind of desensitized people, like, from the get-go, immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's a new experience, they tried it out, and then, you know, that after the excitement wore off, what is there to do now? Like, it's not something that really come back to. And, you know, that's not, I'm not blaming the audience for anything. It really is just the way things work sometimes.
It's hard, yeah.
Catching people's attention.
I mean, also there's the donation fatigue, right? There's a donation fatigue. It's always a fundraiser, right? I mean, these are all good things, but like, you know, this is in general, not just for like gigs, right? But then in Nevada, there's been so many fundraisers with, you know, the general problem in this country. And like, we can't keep, it's harder.
Well, you have to think of what online gigs are up against. Like the form of content, they're online. There's so much stuff online to do.
That's true.
The thing about like physical gigs is like those were unique. Those were, every night was different. But the thing about when you have something on a platform that's on YouTube, Facebook, the online gigs have to like battle with other people, for people's attention.
Oh, yeah.
With like, they could just click on, if they wanted to, like with what Teddy said a while ago when he was saying that he would still go to the online gigs of his favorite bands, what's to stop the casual listener to just be like, wait, can't I just click on Spotify and just listen to the songs I want to listen to from the bands I want to listen to, or the music videos? Yeah.
I honestly get that in the sense that because everything's online, it's such a huge platform for just anything, for just like anything to come out. And that's the thing, it's kind of just like watching a YouTube video. And I guess at the start of the quarantine, when everyone was still, you know, like excited to watch all these online gigs, it was a pretty fun experience because, again, it's like trying to emulate at the very least what we were experiencing on the daily when we're watching live performances. But at this point, it's kind of just like watching another YouTube video, you know, because everything's online, like say online classes, all these online lectures. It's kind of like, yeah, it kind of gives you the same feeling. Yeah, Zoom fatigue, basically just being on your screens all the time. And I think that's one of the biggest, one of the causes, I guess, of the downfall of online gigs. And like, we can see that now, not a lot of people have been producing online gigs because, for one, we're tired. Like, we can't take that away from anyone, like both producers, artists, and even the audience. We're all just tired of, you know, just staring at their screens all the time. And also because it's just not sustainable. It was fun, for sure. Yeah, it was fun when it was starting. And then because of the spike, because everyone's just tired, I guess you can say na, like, I don't know, it's just not a sustainable thing to keep going from here on out.
Wait, so like, where do you guys think it's gonna go?
Well, on the what Fiona was saying, when it comes to like motivation and fatigue, like the easiest thing, like the first thing that comes to mind is like proper pay, like compensation. It's a new field. People are still figuring stuff out, and I think it's calling. If all of the artists are having trouble surviving with the current situation, that just means that the compensation for these online gigs, for producing for these online gigs, should probably be more. Something that would motivate them to be like to work better, to make better stuff. Because that's what we're combating, right? We can't just be different from other online content. Online gigs need to be better.
That's true.
Right? So, because our mindset for the longest time has been trying to port old experiences to this online thing, we're really like cutting ourselves off at the legs. Because, yeah.
We can't really rely so much on nostalgia, because not everyone would always feel that way. It runs out really fast, actually. That's why I thought about how, speaking of compensation, I've looked at various online gigs and how people, or how these production teams or groups, yeah, the prod houses, how they always I guess rely on, they don't really, not everyone actually gives out a price for you to attend to this gig. It's usually a pay what you can, or you can donate support, you know. But then given how I guess it's already like what Fiona has stated, it's this downfall had started already, I guess that's for me. But yeah, I can see how people can't really always shell out, you know. There's this fatigue wherein the donation fatigue that Teddy had said earlier, wherein people can't always give out a lot of stuff. Like, for personally, for me, I don't really attend paid gigs. I could see why people attended Root. They monetized the online gig for Root because Root was the one who made it. It's to support. They would usually people would always go for people would usually pay for a gig to, because they would support these small places. But it kind of,
you're missing out on the gigs, the old gigs, which were people would pay to enter just for the experience itself.
The difference with paying for the experience, this one is just to support now, basically. It's really not for the experience itself anymore.
I would honestly hope that these gigs would like at least become more monetized in a sense. See, I forgot then to mention, like, this is work for a lot of people, right? Artists, you know, do a lot of work to make these, to make their videos. These broad houses do a lot of production, they continue the production, but then technically in the online gig setting, the pay has lessened, right? It's lessened. So, you know, and there's so much more time now given to these online gigs. It's a different thing, especially for bands who work weeks to make their own sets, right? So, parang ako, I would hope na in the future there would at least be more monetized. Kahit paano, parang, you know, just to be able to pay our artists for their work. It's their work, eh, right?
Yeah, yes.
Well, it is a double-sided problem, which is like the money that's supposed to go for compensation to the artists needs to come from somewhere. And it, for prod
production companies for prod houses, it would come from what they earn from the gigs that they put on. But if the gigs themselves aren't earning, no matter how good the artist's creations or whatever they produce, no matter how good those things are, if they're still not making money on the gig itself, we can't force prod houses to up their pay, knowing that sila naman yung lugi.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I'd have to echo what Jerry said. I personally don't like attending paid gigs, like, at least paid online gigs, rather. Because again, it's like, you know, like, again, it's a different experience. And I guess I'm on the line here in the sense that I am both an audience member and a production person who produces gigs. Because again, it's like, yes, we do, like, the UP Music Circle, of course, is all for paying our artists. We're all for paying our talents, everyone who works for the gig especially. But the thing is, like, as a person who is stuck at home, say most of the gig goers, at least before, they all had constant income. See, that's the thing. Like, we all had constant income, at least as students. We had our baons. But now, because we're at home, we're not getting that from anywhere. So it's like,
exactly.
Yes, we don't have the money, or at least the means. A lot of the gig goers right now, especially those who are students, a lot of them don't really have the means to pay for these online gigs. So you're always just caught at the line of how much do we pay our artists? How much do we pay our talents? How much do we pay to watch these gigs? But at the same time, like, as a production person, it's like, we can't just keep shelling out money when we don't really get as much in return. Yeah. You know, it's a constant struggle because a lot of the Filipino population has lost their income, or at least, like, a steady stream of it. So, I don't know, like, it's just a different thing to consider. Like, we do want to monetize these things, but at the same time, where do we get the money? Like, as students, as at least, like, students running this whole production aspect, it's difficult.
It's difficult from another perspective, where it's like, we still want to make music. Our overall goal is really to create something worthwhile. Music for music's sake, art for art's sake, really. But it's like it's that age-old problem that you can't live off of it in the Philippines or in a lot of
that's
places,
true.
Actually.
And, you know, like, that's the thing. It's like, we are so passionate about creating these beautiful gigs for everyone else to enjoy. We want as much as possible to put the music that we love out there, but it's not sustainable in the sense that we can't just keep doing these things for free. But also, where do we get the money to keep funding these things?
Given how other people also have their priorities on where they spend their money, gigs aren't actually a necessity, sadly.
True. They're definitely behind food, shelter, electricity.
Yeah, we're not. I think that's the saddest thing. Music isn't the essential. Isn't the essential sector.
Yeah,
that's like reality. You know?
As sad as it is to say, art isn't essential, but it's.
But it's what's keeping us alive.
It's
what
keeps us alive. What is that?
I guess that's the reason why. I guess that's the reason why people still try to make their own online gigs, you know? It's to give color to our world. Yeah.
It's why we still go. It's why I know I can't speak for the whole industry, but it's why UPMC is still making stuff. Sure, we're kind of cutting corners in some places, but trying to less cutting corners and more like trying to condense the experience to what we feel is essential. To the music, to the experience, for the music, for the artists. So, you know, we're getting our essentials in order also, in our own way. I like to think.
I just hope eventually we find that sweet spot where we can keep creating things and still get compensated properly for it. I think that's...
And still survive.
Yeah, and still survive off of it. It's such a terrible time, especially for musicians right now. They aren't getting paid enough for all the work that they're doing, and production houses as well. Like, they don't get paid enough. They don't have the income to keep creating these gigs. So I hope eventually we get to find a sweet spot where people enjoy these things, though they're online, though it's a different experience that we still get to enjoy them and get properly compensated for them. Maybe in a perfect world, maybe eventually in the future, when things get better for other people, hopefully we find that sweet spot where we can, you know, just keep doing what we love and not feel like it's a sacrifice in any way. Okay, so honestly, like, this has been so much fun, you know, just me, Jerry, Resha, and Teddy talking about all these music experiences, reliving all of the things that happened pre-pandemic. And, you know, this is just our way of immortalizing this moment so we can look back on this, you know, hopefully once this pandemic is over. And, you know, I don't think this is goodbye. I don't think this is goodbye, right?
No, definitely not. I had so much fun working on this online content with you guys. I hope, like, more of the org, more of our members can try this out as well. So, you know, more content for our listeners to consume.
Yeah, like, I'm really glad we got to do this. This was our way of keeping things alive. Without our live gigs, without our live music, you know, I'm great. Now we got to, you know, we get to keep the spirit of loving music and just sharing our passion for it.
So once again, thank you so much for listening to us ramble on and on about random topics. This was Jerry.
And this was Fiona.
And this is Resha.
And this is Teddy.
Of the UP Music Circle, Tara Tambay. See you guys again, hopefully soon.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye, guys.
You. Bye.
This podcast is produced by the UP Music Circle. Special thanks to Leonard Magtira and Lupin Princesa for producing our musical elements, Jill Botardo for editing, featuring songs by Leonard Magtira and Joshua Evangelista.